Blog Talk Radio.
Conservative Talk. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
And I opened up with the Mars music from Holds the Planet, not in honor of Obama's speech tonight.
Nope.
Rather to placate the God of War, who is probably really pissed that some little hack in an empty suit tried to play his game.
And boy, did he play a game.
I am... You know what? Okay, let's be really honest about this. Did either you or I expect anything different out of him tonight?
No, I did not.
I
expected worse.
You know, this was a purely political decision taken, you know, of which 6 months have gone from the time when he asked for this analysis to making a decision. I find it to be, you and I have talked about this personally. I don't know if I've talked about it on the show. Short story. I used to have a boss that I used to have to draft letters for on a very recurring basis. And no matter what I drafted for him, he always had to make changes on it. It just really didn't make any difference. The letter could have been absolutely, you know, I could have copied his letter from a year ago.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And, you know, he would still have had to put changes on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so what I started doing was I always made sure that there was an obvious misspelling somewhere in the first paragraph. And he would always fix that misspelling, and then leave the rest alone. And I called it lifting his leg and pissing on it.
Yep.
He just had to put his mark on it. He just had to put his little mark on it and said, see, I had a hand in this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what has happened here, is his chosen military commanders did the analysis that he asked for.
Yep. Absolutely.
It took 3 months to do that analysis. Put it on his table, and he had to lift his leg and piss on it.
Yep. That's exactly what he did.
And hand it back and go, here you go, guys.
Yep.
Oh, by the way,
time.
By the way, you have to be done in 18 months. That's all this is good for.
And I know, I absolutely know no Taliban or Pakistanis are listening to that.
No, because the Middle East doesn't care what he says anymore.
Yeah, well, okay,
fine. That's
what
the people are saying. They don't care. You know, and of course, this is something I was hearing for the last, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. You know, it was a really tough decision. You know, he made a really tough decision. Glad I didn't have to make that decision. I'm like, what fucking decision did
what?
He make?
Really? I mean, let me see.
We are in no position to judge his decision making. Bullshit!
Oh, like we didn't go through 8 years of judging decision making? What?
Man, I am just like, you know, you, me, and about 60 million other people are going, are you fucking crazy?
Exactly. Exactly.
8 years, Bush goes, I will not set a timetable. I will not set a timetable. Obama, on his first chance, goes, timetable, here it is.
Yep. For all the wrong reasons. I mean, for all of the wrong reasons. I mean, if he had said, folks, get ready, shock and awe, and we're going to be done with these crap suckers in 18 months, okay, yay, good job. Go in, do it, get the hell out. Oh, no. No, no, we can't do that. Let me see. I think I'm going to take my hand-picked generals plan that I've already signed off on when I appointed him, because you can bet that within 30 days of the time that he appointed him, that general had a plan on his desk. And then he cuts that troop strength request by 25%, 40,000 down to 30,000, and says, oh, and you got 18 months to do it in. What a fool.
It is clear. I mean, there's, you know, you and I have had no doubt, you know, since more than a year ago,
yep,
that he was functionally incompetent.
Yes.
It is clear that he is incapable, not just incompetent, he is incapable of making a military decision.
That's true.
This was purely a political decision. This was, how can I get myself out of a no-win situation? You know, his response to the Gubayashi Maru scenario was to launch three shuttles and run.
Oh, yeah.
This is, and I don't care what anybody else says, this is the President of the United States, an historic night. This has been an historic night. The President of the United States got up in front of the entire population and said, this is how I'm going to tuck tail and run.
Yeah. Yep. Here's my exit. Here's how I get out of this.
And
by the way, I'm voting present.
We can spend an hour going through the speech line by line, piece by
yep.
piece, stupidity by stupidity. And you know what? I'm simply not going to give it that kind of time.
Yeah, well.
I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, one, we've known this is what was going to happen for the last week.
Yes.
Two, for all practical purposes, we expected basically this kind of response the first time Obama was going to have the opportunity to make this kind of decision.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be a political decision that would be calculated to screw the troops in the field and us in the world and, you know, the country as a whole. He would try to placate his base,
mm-hmm.
try to prove that he has balls.
Yeah, right. You better get him out of Michelle's purse.
Well, actually, I'm beginning to believe that the reason his ears are so big is because they've been hanging from them.
Yeah.
I once read a story about somebody, you know, somebody took some real asshole, you know, they cut his nuts off and, you know, they boiled them down and made earrings and put them back on the person.
Oh, boy. Hmm.
It was pretty gross.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a pretty interesting point of view, you know. You know, if you're going to play with your balls, you may as well hang them out there where anyone can see them. So, okay. Sorry, people, that's not the visual that I wanted to have tonight, but...
Yeah, well.
You know... When Mr. Ballas pretends that he has them, that's all you can do.
Yep.
All right, so, it's been, you and I haven't talked.
No.
Well, let me open up this way. Some
okay.
people know. online. Some people know already what's gone on in the last week for me, so I'm going to kind of bring people to date.
Okay.
How was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was wonderful. We have a community Thanksgiving dinner here that we have some minor part in helping put on. And we went to that. There were 200 and some odd people that showed up, 220 some odd. It was great fun. It was great food. We had some good music, a little local band, a local preacher and his wife and sister and a couple of pickups, I think. And it was good. How was yours? We did not rehearse that,
nephew,
folks.
My nephew came over. My nephew came over. We were at Thanksgiving. My sister and her two boys came over for Thanksgiving. My nephew that had been injured and his brother, who I don't see very often because he takes very much after his father, who's a little weaselly, coward piece of work that would make Obama proud.
Uh-huh.
Who hasn't worked more than 6 months in his entire working life.
Oh, boy.
Anyways, they come over, and, you know, we had a nice dinner. Everything was fine. It was great. His eldest son, not the nephew that got hurt, his eldest son was toast when he came over, you know, which kind of made me pissed off, and it warned me that I should not have any conversations with him.
Uh-huh.
You know, an occasional passing comment would be the most, that I should not get in any conversations with him. It would not end nicely,
well,
no matter what conversation.
Okay.
I managed to get all the way through dessert.
Cool.
And then we got into a conversation that lasted, 5 minutes. Oh, no, that's probably exceeding things. It probably lasted about 2, at which point he stood up and he said, "We're leaving." And he and his brother and my sister ended up leaving pretty much like immediately. I'm not going to go into the conversation. Let's just say that, some families pick on each other pretty ruthlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And from the outside, it looks like it's really serious banter. When in fact, that's all it is. It's just, you know, good-hearted banter. That's all it is. And our family is like that. We can be snide, snarky, sharp. The goal, if it can be ever said that there was a goal, is that, you know, who can be quickest with a retort that leaves the other side,
Yeah, okay.
And so that means that you could actually have 5 or 6 go back and forth, you know, really rapid fire, and then it just stops, and everybody smiles at each other, and you just go on to the next time until, you know, it picks up again and goes back and forth like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he's been to like 3 family functions in 25 years.
Oh boy. Okay.
And we just we just started getting into a family banter, and he got into it. And, you know, he took offense by it, and that was it. You know, I looked at my sister. She goes, "I don't care. It really doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference." So they left, and that was fine. You know, whatever. So I felt bad for about 10 minutes. Because CJ wanted to play cards, and they were going to play cards. And now they weren't playing cards.
Okay.
Anyways, it was very nice. Otherwise, the rest of the evening was very nice. I had some mincemeat pie that was outstanding.
Yeah, right.
The next morning, CJ and I got up early. We got some donuts that Victoria likes from a place near where my parents live. We got them back to her. Then she and I left. The goal was to go to the Sears Tower.
Ooh.
Go up to the Sears Tower. She wanted to go to the Sears Tower and take lots of pictures. It was going to be basically a clear, sunny day, so that was going to be good. And then she wanted to, in Chicago and Millennium Park, they have what's called the Bean. The Bean is a highly reflective bean-shaped sculpture that you can walk under and around, and it reflects people, you know, highly polished stainless steel.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. You can take pictures of the skyline in reverse and backwards and upside down. She wanted to go see it. So we went to the Sears Tower. It took us 3 hours to get up to the top for 45 minutes.
Mm.
3 hours standing in line, moving, waiting, standing
yep.
in line, moving,
yep, yep,
waiting.
Yep.
You know, and then 45 minutes up there, and then we came down, and then we took a cab over to the park, which was like a 5-minute cab ride. And then we're at the park. It was, now, I just have a white linen jacket that I wear everywhere. I wear it all year round, whenever I'm there. It's not exactly warm, but it breaks the wind, and as long as my hands are warm, I'm pretty much okay. Because I don't spend lots of time outside. And if I do, it's something like shoveling the snow and stuff like that, and I'm getting sweaty, and then the cotton works really well, and I don't need a big, heavy coat in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's all I was wearing, gloves and that jacket. We were at the park. It was 43 degrees, not a breath of wind, and sunny.
Oh, what?
So it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Did the bean, took a bus up Michigan Avenue to Miracle Mile, why was I saying Miracle Mile? Magnificent Mile. Chicago's shopping district downtown. And we started walking for a while. We went into the Apple Store. We came out of the Apple Store, and I was freezing.
Oh, yeah.
Not the kind of freezing that it made any difference what the temperature was outside. I was chattering on the inside.
Oh, boy.
It was like all of a sudden, I was cold. Just bone cold. We walked 2 blocks to the mall that's there. It's called Water Tower Place. Big, fancy mall. We went in, and I said, you know, go do your shopping. I'm going to sit here and try and get warm. I'm going to try and stop shivering.
Yeah, right.
Sat there for an hour and a half, shivered the entire time.
Wow.
Couldn't get warm. Could not get warm. She came back. So I got some soda, drank some soda. At that point, I had realized, okay, I haven't eaten or drank anything all day. It's now 5 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
Friday night. Okay, I'm hungry, sugar's down, I'm thirsty, I haven't paid any attention to the fact that all these things are going on. So I get some 7-Up into me, the shivering slows down, I figure fine, we take a cab to the train, get back on the train, go back to the train station where the car was parked, get in the car, go home. I get home, I said, you know, other than the fact that I was shivering like crazy, I didn't feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't catch my breath. You know, and my heart is beating because, of course, I'm shivering. You know, I'm breathing really panting, stuff like that. I said, I'm just going to get under the covers in bed, sleep for a couple of hours, get warm. Doesn't happen. 3 hours, I wake up, I'm still breathing hard, I'm still shivering. You know, I don't know what's going on. I had tried to have a little something to eat, a little bit of something to drink. Shivering slows down. Yay. Good. You know, I go back to bed.
Mm-hmm.
4 hours later, wake up. Victoria has to have her dressing done on their cast. I do that. You know, I take my temperature, 102.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Now, for me, my normal temperature is around 96.
Oh, boy.
So 102 is running a solid 104 temp.
Yep.
I'm going, okay, this is not good.
No, it isn't.
I go back to bed. 3 hours, 4 hours later, I wake up in the middle of the night. Shivering is worse than ever. I, you know, kind of eliminate what little bit of food that I tried to put in there. 7-Up and everything else came back. And I go back to sleep. I spend most of Saturday racing between the bathroom and the bed.
Oh, boy.
My heart still isn't stopping. It's still doing 100 beats a minute. I still can't catch my breath.
Wow.
You know, and I'm still running 104 degree, functionally for me, it was 102.9 up to 103.2 temp. I'm running a huge temp, and I'm not sweating.
Ooh.
At all. Even buried in the covers, I'm not sweating. I'm sitting like going, I'm dehydrated. So
yeah.
I can't keep anything down. I drink some water. Comes right back up. I say, I don't care. I drink some more water. Comes right back up. This goes on for the next hour. And slowly it takes longer each time, you know, for things to happen. But all of a sudden I start sweating again. Yay! I go back under the covers, and 5 hours later, with a mattress that was soaked, not mentioning the two quilts, the sheets, and the blanket. The temp broke. And it wasn't so much the temp breaking that I knew things were getting better.
Yeah.
Was that all of a sudden, I just could breathe normal.
Ah, yeah.
And my heart quieted down.
Yep, yep.
You know, I slept for another 4 hours, got up, took a shower, took an hour and a half to take a shower because I was weak as hell.
Yeah, sure.
And then CJ got us all packed, and I had to drive home.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
So we get home. I get everybody situated. 7 o'clock, I go to bed, Sunday night. 1 o'clock, I wake up, decide to have some water, because I'm obviously still dehydrated.
Sure.
I'm having some water. 20 minutes later, Victoria calls me back out of bed. She has a problem that keeps us awake for the next 4.5 hours.
Oh, boy. Just what you needed.
That's what I needed.
Yep.
At 5:30, I told her, the alarm goes off in an hour. If you're not better, I'm calling an ambulance. So an hour later, the alarm goes off. I get CJ up to go to school, and she goes, I'm feeling a little bit better. get dressed. You have court. You know, we take CJ to school. We go to court. Instead of a nice little 20-minute fasting,
mm-hmm.
an hour and 45 minutes we're sitting there.
Oh, boy.
And I couldn't sit. I had to stand the entire time.
Oh.
So I'm in really, really good shape. To take this very long story and cut it just a little bit shorter, we didn't retrieve the dogs until today because I needed sleep. Today, I ate a bowl of cereal.
Oh, boy.
That's the first food of substance I've had in the last 5 days. I have lost 17 pounds.
My goodness.
Since last Tuesday. You know, here's what I have to say about H1N1. I understand why it kills people.
Uh-huh.
My respirations were 25 to 30 reps per minute. Per minute for the better part of 36 hours.
Wow.
My heart rate was around 100 for the better part of 36 hours.
Mm.
I couldn't talk Sunday and Monday very loudly because I had no breath.
Yep.
You know, my lungs were just simply, you know, ground beef by the time I was done.
Wow.
You know, I'm better today. But it's,
well, that's good.
I'm still dehydrated. I can still tell that I'm not yet rehydrated. Despite the fact that I've probably drank close to a gallon of water today.
Jeez.
My Thanksgiving was great. Right up until dinner.
Yeah,
and then it was downhill from there.
God.
So I was feeling better going into today, and then, of course, you know, Mr. Barack Obama. Moron!
Yeah, right.
Jeez. Victoria wanted to know if I was going to talk about Tiger Woods today.
What?
No. Yeah, she wanted to know if I was going to talk about Tiger Woods today.
No.
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 Jeez.
God. Hello?
Hello. Chris Matthews. He went to the enemy camp.
Yeah. Man.
He's the president of the United States going to West Point. Enemy camp.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't know.
Tracy, we cannot have people on both sides of the political spectrum opposing this effort.
What? Who said that?
That's what I was told.
Well,
I think that Senator Feingold and Maxine Waters, who both have come out with, we can't vote for funding on this, I think what they're saying is they want Obama to fail.
sounds like it.
That sounds like it to me.
Yeah, yeah.
We want Obama to fail.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Here's
what?
My problem. A friend of mine said, you know, you wouldn't have agreed with anything he'd said. That's not true. If
nope.
he had said, I'm sending 40,000 troops, and in 18 months we'll review the status and see how things are going, I would have gone, bam! Good job! Rah!
Yep.
Hoorah!
Yep.
Good job!
Wish
now,
you would have done that a little quicker,
song,
but
moron.
Okay.
You know, I would have been pissed off that it took them, you know, 3 months to get to that point, but hey!
Yep.
You did it! Good! You know... But putting a timeline on it, can you tell, is there any time that you're aware of, any war that you're aware of, that somebody said, we're going to have a war starting January 1st, it'll be done by December 31st, okay?
No. I never saw that memo.
I once heard FDR say, on January 1st, 1944, we're going to commit 140,000 troops to the European theater. We're going to start bringing them home on January 1st, 1945. I heard that. You heard that, right? We heard that.
Very good.
We heard that, right?
Yeah,
heard
right.
The historical record.
Yeah. You bet. I mean, what in the world? What in the world is wrong with the word victory? What in the world is wrong with the word win? What in the world is wrong with the phrase, we're going to be there until we're done? What's wrong with those phrases? I mean, they're perfectly good English words strung together in recognizable sentences, and they convey an idea. What's so terrible about all that?
Right. It's this idea of, do you want a war without end? Well,
no.
I want a war that ends with a victory.
Yeah.
You cannot say the war is going to end on January 1st.
Nope.
Unless, I'll put it this way. I can suggest that as President of the United States, I could guarantee a victory in Afghanistan on January 1st.
Hmm.
I could guarantee that a victory would occur on January 1st.
B-52s are in the air, huh? Okay,
that's right.
Fine.
Give them the full Monty.
Yeah. W-44s, here we come.
You know, and Afghanistan would be a glowing reminder of how you can
establish an end date. Do you see that bright glow to the east there? Yes, indeed.
That's how you establish an end date for a war.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, God
oh, and by
the
way, too bad about
to...
that collateral damage there. I'm sorry, but oh well.
God put the rainbow in the sky to remind us that he would never destroy the earth with water again.
That's right.
Tracy would put a glow in the sky to remind everybody we would not do that shit again.
Right. Because we won't have to.
We won't have to. In this generation, apparently, every couple generations, people have to be reminded.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I could guarantee an end to that, but you're right. You know, I there would be a certain amount of collateral damage.
Yes, there would.
Certain amount of collateral damage.
And by the way, Medina, Mecca, and whatever, and Qom would be glass parking lots.
You know, I've said that on occasion.
Yep.
I've said that on occasion. I would do something that would be a little bit more heinous.
Ooh. I'm all ears.
I would float down on. I would launch a predator, you know, one of the super predators.
Yeah.
With a 25 kiloton nuke strapped to its bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I would land it on top of the cube in Mecca.
Ooh.
And just leave it there.
Ooh.
And just say, if you had a thought, just to remind you that we might have a thought too.
Yep.
I think that would be more heinous and would focus people's attention much more.
It would definitely focus their attention.
Because, you know, once it's gone, it's no more of a threat.
That's true.
It's just a rallying point. It's a martyr.
Well, that's true.
But if you put something there that they can't touch.
That puts it in jeopardy.
Then it's a permanent, preventative device.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the problem is that it would be forever sitting there as a stark reminder of two things. Our willingness to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And how impotent the Muslim world would be to stop it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And frankly...
Here's the flaw in the ointment. Willingness to do it.
Oh, well, yeah.
We currently have a CIC that is not willing to do that.
We have a CIC that I don't think is willing to pull the trigger of
Period.
A pop gun.
Yeah. It appears to be that is the case, yes.
Okay. Somebody said, does somebody have to kill something to prove that they're a man? No, that's not true. I don't believe that you have to kill something to prove that you're a man. I think you have to be willing to do so to prove that you're a man.
Mm-hmm.
And for all of you people that think, well, that's just ridiculous, all I can say is, sue me. Now, here's kind of an interesting thing. By my criteria, Sarah Palin has more balls than Barack Obama.
Yep.
And we already knew that. I don't know. All right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nestle Water.
Who?
Mango, pineapple, and cherry. An orange. Actually pretty good. A little freebie there for people. All right. Now, here's one of my problems with today's... William, you have something going on
here.
With your...
No, I'm actually trying to put it on speakerphone.
Oh, I'm always on speakerphone. So. My nephew Chris will be deployed to Afghanistan. Thank you, Barack Obama. He was due to go out anyway, so it's not going to be any big difference.
What's that?
Chris will be going to Afghanistan, I think, in February.
Ouch.
I think that's when he was due to go out, is in February. So I don't know that he'll be considered part of the 35,000. Was it 35,000 or 30,000? I actually didn't hear this.
I heard 30,000.
Okay. So 30,000. So
yeah.
I don't know if he's going to be considered part of that or not, because it'll be in that time frame. Obama may want to use the fact that he'd be going out anyways as part of that number. I think we have to be a little bit. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to suggest that he's going to try and fudge the numbers. Let's talk about fudging the numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm not going to give him a whole much more time on here. Let's talk about fudging the numbers. Did you know that there is a whole bunch of scientists that apparently fudge the numbers?
Hello?
William? William? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm trying to figure out why the heck my speakerphones aren't working correctly. We have
this
a technological problem.
Technical stuff, dude.
Yeah, I know.
We'll get this stuff worked out before the show is on.
Yeah, well, I know. So Chris is not going to be part of the 35, or he is?
I don't know.
Oh.
You know, he was already scheduled to go out. So does that mean that he wouldn't be part of the 35 because the 35 is in addition to what was already being there, and a natural rotation?
Hmm. Don't know.
I don't know.
Don't know. Yep.
Does that mean that he gets to come out in 18 months?
Well, except that their tours aren't 18 months long.
Right. Didn't I get the general idea that these 35,000 or 35,000 are going to be put in over the next year? Which means some of them may not go out for another 8 or 10 months.
That's true. Yep.
Theoretically, he could send 2,000 troops in January and not send another person out, over there until, like, August or next November, for 1 3-month tour and then flip them back out. And he will have sent his 30 or 35,000 over there and, begun reversing the process.
Yeah. Yep.
That's why I said I didn't want to go there. I don't want to impugn upon Mr. Obama, the likelihood that he would be fudging with the numbers some.
Oh, well, no.
He wouldn't do
We'd
that.
We'd never see him do that. No.
We wouldn't see him do that with troops' lives.
No. He has way too much high regard for the military to do that.
Apparently the troops gave him a rather lukewarm reception.
That's what Chrissy Matthews says. Poor Chrissy got his panties in a knot there because they weren't slobbering and falling down and rolling around on the floor.
Wine. It's the wine and cheese crew.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, in our family, when we get big family get-togethers, we do talk politics on occasion. But it's carefully done, depending on who's around. Because, well, let's just say that if you know me, you know my family.
Ah, okay.
So imagine six or seven of me sitting around a table.
Oh boy, okay.
It can be rather interesting.
Yeah.
Loud, obnoxious, rollicking, boisterous. So we don't necessarily talk a whole lot about topics. We didn't talk a whole lot about politics because, I was asleep.
Yeah.
I got to talk to my parents on Wednesday night when we got there, and
yeah.
That was it. I spent almost no time talking to my parents this weekend.
Yeah.
I was
that's
not happy about that.
No, that's
happy.
Too bad.
Because there's things we generally do want to go through and get through.
Well, sure.
CJ and Victoria got to spend a lot of time with my parents, which is fine. But they didn't get to do anything on Saturday. They sat around, twiddled their watching TV and, talking all day, which was fine, but they didn't get to do much anything on Saturday. I want to talk about ClimateGate. We talked about this
bit
last week. I want to get a little bit more into it this week. Because the left is doing exactly what we expected to do. No big deal here. Carry on. Nothing to see.
Yep. Oh, isn't that what Baghdad Bobby Gibbs said?
Yes.
Yeah.
of course, Paul Jones has stepped down from his position.
Yes.
It's a
And Professor Mann is under investigation by the University of, who is it, Pennsylvania, I think? Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh.
That would be Hockey Stick Man, for those of you who don't know.
Yeah, Paul Jones has stepped down temporarily while
right.
the investigation proceeds.
Mm.
With the full expectation that after the investigation is over, everything will be cleared up and, you know, he'll be back in his position.
Yeah,
and
I'm sure.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't
yep.
think so.
Yeah.
Because he's got one, you know, there's only one email that you have to pay attention to. You can ignore every other single piece of email that was disclosed. Every other report, every other, you know, document that was released 2 weeks ago, you can ignore everything except for one email where he says, in response to the Freedom of Information Act, that he will destroy it before he turns it over.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
That email should get him fired.
Oh, absolutely. And interestingly enough, even some scientists that are proponents of the global warming theory are calling for exactly that to happen. And I thought, well, good on them.
Yeah, you know, the idea that a raw data set used for, you know, research
and the basic computations
would be destroyed rather than be allowed other researchers to see.
Oh yeah.
It flies in the face of everything regarding scientific inquiry.
Absolutely.
Regarding scientific inquiry. The entire, and of course, given the fact that it's a Freedom of Information Act request, it is a federal law that he is violating.
Well, of course, he's in England, although they have a counterpart to our FOIA.
Right.
Yeah.
It's against the law there, too.
Yes, it is.
For him to do this. And the people said, you know, what's just one data set? And I'm sitting there like, don't you understand? That's the data set.
Mm-hmm.
That is the raw temperature data set, you know, for the last 80 years. Land and ocean data set.
Yep.
Raw numbers. Not the massage numbers, not the analyzed numbers, not the corrected ones. The raw numbers.
Right.
One
exactly.
set. It is the only set that exists.
Yep.
And he was planning on destroying it.
Yep.
And
apparently did.
And apparently he has.
Yeah.
I can't imagine he did that.
I mean,
in a personal way, I can't imagine that he would do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine that he said that he did that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to actually destroy that data set as a scientist, I can't imagine that he would ever be willing to do that.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like an archaeologist that finds the Holy Grail and goes, you know, I'm going to destroy this before I'll let anybody else have it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
The idea that they would actually destroy it, you know, they might say it was destroyed, but to actually do so, I'm not buying it. Not buying it. So, and the problem is, again, it's the single data set. Now, the data set was adjusted, normalized, and
homogenized.
You know, all kinds of things were done to it, and then that adjusted set was given to other researchers to use in their
yep.
research.
Exactly.
And
let me cook the books, and then you can derive your numbers from that. You betcha.
So, right. So that means that you then had 10 or 15 or 20 papers, you know, on the data set that, in fact, were not on the raw data.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the data set that he had already taken and modified in ways that he's not willing to disclose.
Exactly.
And all these other papers are based upon this modified data set. And everybody goes, well, look at all these other papers. But all of those other papers are based on the modified data set.
And not only are all the other papers based on the modified data set, all of the dissenting views from that were prohibited from being published. Other than on various websites, you know, but certainly not in the, quote, peer-reviewed literature.
Right, and of course when they said, well, we have other things other than the data set to show that we have global warming, and then when we say, well, here's the other things and what the problems are with there, we said, well, we have the temperature recordings.
Right.
Well,
okay. Yeah, right.
Okay. So the temperature recordings have been manipulated, so we have other things, but the other things show something else. Well, those are not accurately record. Those are not accurately reflecting what's going on. That's why we have the temperature data set. The one you mean, the manipulated one? Well, that's why we have other things.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
You know, as somebody suggested over the last week, there is no good or easy way to restore trust in the process. Now,
well, there was minimal trust to begin with on a bunch of ours parts, and now, when you can't even get the raw data, it's like, folks, you need to start all over. I mean, start from square one. Get rid of every one of those IPCC publications. Start over.
Right, and you know, I finally read something today. I think I found it on Climate Audit. And one of the questions was, you know, had to do with the little warming period that existed about 1,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When Greenland was green.
And had vineyards.
So the question was, how warm were we then? And
mm-hmm.
if the answer to that is, well, we were a degree warmer then than we are now, and we're only thinking about maybe, under the current scenarios, adding another half a degree, you know,
mm-hmm.
then
mm-hmm.
we're only going to get to a point where we've been in the last 1,000 years.
Exactly. And by the way, we had a little ice age in between there, too.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, kind of coming off of in a way.
Yeah, really.
You know, I this goes back to the thing that you and I have, and many other people have said. You know, we said it last week. We've said it many times before. Tell us what the right temperature is, so
yep.
that we know
when we get
whether
there.
We're actually going towards it or away
yep.
from it.
Yep. Exactly.
And if you can't tell me what it is, then you can't tell me whether global warming, if it is actually occurring, is actually a good thing or a bad thing.
Exactly. What is the target temp?
So, you know, and of course, you and I both know, there's no such thing.
No, there isn't.
No, the planet goes from a little bit warmer to a little bit cooler to a little bit warmer to a little bit
yep.
cooler to a little bit cooler to a little
been,
bit warmer.
Been
you
doing
know.
That for millions of years, folks.
Yeah.
Billions, maybe. Who knows? I don't know.
Global climate change. We have to stop it.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Okay. You know, precession is really something that's screwing up our seasons. We need to stop that.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, I'm sitting here and it's 33 degrees outside, and I'm saying, man, I could use some of that global warming.
Hey, we got El Nino this year.
Well,
you're screwed. You're going to get wet.
Man, it better hurry up. I'm below last year.
I think that's the deal. Is the West Coast will be wetter because of El Nino.
Yeah.
And the interior will be drier.
Yeah.
The South will get wetter. The North will be drier. We'll be colder. marginally so. Colder and drier. As far as I'm concerned, that's fine.
Oh, yeah. I'm just waiting for all that precipitation to hit. Hopefully it doesn't come in one day.
Oh, Lord. My parents just bought a brand new snowblower.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, and I'm thinking, like, that's not what I want to do.
Yeah, right.
You're supposed to be in San Diego.
Yeah, right, exactly. Oh, man.
No, I don't want to do that. So, the question is, the question on the table is, is ClimateGate going to continue to gain legs? I'd like to believe that the answer is yes.
I would like to believe the answer is yes, but isn't it interesting that the best reporting so far coming out of this is out of the European newspapers? And not best in terms of upholding any one point of view or the other, but simply in saying, here's what happened, here's what we know, here's who's saying what. And the American lamestream media is saying, Gates? Oh, Gates? We don't know about any Gates.
Well, you know, my opinion is, you know, based on things from my cousin and my aunt, is that there's almost nothing the English like better than a good scandal.
That's true. That's
true. Other than a good football game, you know, good scandal is something that they really get their teeth into.
Yeah. Hey, you know, there is something good that did come out of this, though. Australia kicked their prime minister out, and
who was pro cap and trade, pro.
Oh yeah, and they put in the head of their Liberal Party, and Liberal, you have to remember, those folks are backwards from us. If they're Liberal over there, that means that they're conservative. And so a conservative is heading up the country now, who thinks AGW is a crock of kangaroo dung.
A big, huge pie.
Yeah. Big, so, huge, you know, something good did come out of that.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Yep.
You know, I'm just, you know, one of the things my mom and I talked about on Wednesday night was, you know, there's a whole lot of places in the world right now where people are waiting for another shoe to drop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been my experience that sometimes that wait can be really long.
Yeah, it can be.
You know, I don't want to say that the reason that I was, at the time, a fundamentalist Christian was because I bought into the argument that Scripture foretold the end times,
mm-hmm.
that the generation that saw the rebirth of the nation of Israel would be the final generation.
Hmm.
No, that's
really?
Scripture, and we can go dig it up if you want to show it, but the generation that sees the rebirth of Israel will be the last generation.
Hmm.
Now, there's lots of questions about what is a generation.
And what would constitute a rebirth? I mean, are we talking about 1948?
Well, the argument was that in 1948 we had a rebirth of the nation of Israel and the reinstitution, you know, of, you know, Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
However,
which is
some
a divided
people say
city,
that
but
rebirth doesn't exist until the temple is rebuilt.
Ah, okay.
However, that doesn't make sense with the rest of Revelation, which the temple is rebuilt in the last days. The idea that Israel was reborn in 1948, and generally, scripturally, a generation was 40 years.
Okay.
So 1948 plus 40 would be 1988, and then the 7 years of tribulation of Revelation would be 7 years and that would be over by the time that 40 years would be over. Hence, tribulation would begin sometime in 1981.
Hmm.
Which happened to coincide, basically, with my fundamentalist Christian period of my life.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I won't suggest to you that I got religion when the possibility that the world was coming to an end existed.
Exactly.
I won't suggest that to you.
Okay. And I won't bring it up. I mean, I have a problem with the interpretation of Revelation only from the standpoint of it is so allegorical that you can predict almost anything out of it.
I'm less.
Yeah,
willing
okay.
to take that, having given the amount of time that was involved in, you know, study and research at the time.
Yeah.
In any
okay.
case,
that's fine.
In any case, we are reaching another similar type event, historical event, that is in my mind been blown pretty substantially out of proportion.
Oh, you're talking about the Mayan thing?
Right.
Yeah.
It is
calendar ends.
Thing that's going to happen. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me
yeah.
twice, shame on me. So I'm not going to necessarily buy into all that particular point of view, other than the fact that, you know, Obama will get his second, you know, his second term, 2012, if he gets it.
Yeah, I think he's a one and done, but that's okay.
I'm pretty certain that he's one and done too, because
yep.
I think Jimmy Carter is going to be able to go to his grave realizing that he's not the worst president.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. I mean, Obama has picked up the worst traits of Wilson, FDR, and Carter. I'm sorry, he just has. He epitomizes all of their worst characteristics.
He's playing them up.
Oh, yeah,
like
he is. I mean, he's
like
owning
he's walking
them.
Going, shit, look what got
yeah.
on my pants. And
yeah,
trying to
right.
get it off. You know, he goes, oh, look what I found.
Exactly.
Picked it up, put it in his pocket.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, yeah, no. Yeah, I think Jimmy Carter can safely go to his grave realizing that he no longer has to deal with the worst moniker.
Yeah.
Hey,
did you see that? Did you see that new Rasmussen poll?
No.
71% of the American people are at least somewhat angry to very angry.
At what?
Oh, Obama, this administration, the political situation.
He just added like 14 points to that today.
Oh, did he? Yeah, I guess he did.
You know, from what I'm seeing, the left is really pissed off about tonight.
Oh, man. I tuned into P2 for a little bit. That was ugly. I mean, it was ugly.
Hey, you know, there is no hate like a love scorned.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
no
that's exactly
hate.
Right.
You know, at some point, Obama was going to throw one too many people under the bus for
yeah.
people to be happy with him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it seems how most of those people are going to be on the left that he's
yeah.
going to be throwing on.
Yeah. Couldn't happen to
Hello!
A nicer guy.
Hello!
Yeah.
You know,
on both
yeah,
sides of that equation, both the
yeah,
throwee
you know,
and the thrower.
So, yeah, I'm all for the fact that, you know, if he can get that up to 100%.
Oh, boy.
Come on, Obama, yes, we can!
Yes,
100%
we can.
Pissed off!
And yes, we will.
What would it take for a president to actually piss off the whole frickin' company, the whole frickin' country?
Oh, I don't think you could. No, truly. I mean, you know, there are people that you pull them on any particular subject, and there's a hardcore 13% or 14%. I don't care how outrageous the question is. Oh yeah, I agree with that. So I don't think you could get to 100%. You could maybe get down to that 13% or 14%, but I don't know you'd ever get to 100%.
I think you should try.
That's one of those yes we can moments, huh?
I think you should try.
Yeah.
Oh, hell. We're out of time.
No.
Bye.
See you, Tracy. Thanks for listening, folks. Pammy, Arkansas Traveler, all of you. Thanks.
We're gone. I looked at it. It was like 2 minutes.
We're gone. Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, what's the matter with you?
Jesus. Oh, Lord.
I'm just going to go put the music on.
God. Oh, well. Jeez. I don't know.
I looked at the clock. 4 seconds. 4 seconds.
4 seconds. Well, goodbye.
Jeez. Bye.
Yeah, right. God. I don't have that thing up, so I'm, and it doesn't give me seconds anyway. It only gives me minutes. God.
Oh, welcome to the green room, people. We're not going to hang around a whole lot tonight.
No, we aren't. Yeah. Hey, incidentally, you know what? Our last green room, we were talking about rationing.
Yeah.
There is a dearth of information in regards to rationing out there on the web.
I believe that.
I find that really hard to believe.
That there'd be a dearth of anything on the web?
Well, it's like, wait a minute, that's like a really basic thing here, folks. How come there aren't, how come I'm not even picking up any of the .edu papers or anything else on it? I mean, there's a wiki thing that was less than helpful. It was just screwy.
It's one of those things that everybody seems to know exactly what everybody means, and nobody knows what anybody means.
Exactly, because nobody's bothered to apparently define it sufficiently so that anybody can form an opinion or something. I don't know. But it certainly surprised me. I spent, yesterday and today saying, okay, we're going to talk about that, so I better get busy here. And it was like, huh? Are you kidding me? I mean, they talk about rationing in terms of World War II and World War I and when it ended in Britain and when it ended in the U.S. and all that kind of stuff, but not in terms of economics. And it was like, whoa, that's really amazing. Anyway.
Maybe that's the place to actually go, is to do some, doing some look into the econ side and see how it perceives rationing. I remember the conversation, for those that were not here, is the idea that, pricing is a rationing method of rationing. Pricing is a method of rationing. And my argument is that, in fact, no, pricing is not a method of rationing. Rationing is the consequence of – pricing is the consequence of supply or demand. If something is priced at $100, that you have de facto rationed it because of the price that it's set. And that's not at all economics. Economics establishes the price of something based on the supply and the demand for that. Pricing is not set the other way around. If you have, a shortage of something, then you're going to price it higher because of it's a shortage. If you have a lot of something, you're going to price it lower in order to move it better. You don't sit there and say, well, I only want to sell 80 of the 1,000 that I have, so I'm going to price it at $1,000 each. There's no logic, rational reason to do something like that. If you have 1,000 of them, you either want to sell 1,000 of them, or you don't. If you don't, then you don't. If you do, then you sell them at the price that, works best for that thousand.
And that's a good summation of what we were talking about. Needless to say, I disagreed with that, and so we were going to go back out onto the various information sources and find points that would bolster each of our arguments and carry on from there. Obviously, that's not information that is at least intuitively available on the net, so I'm going to have to start digging into .edu archives and econ archives and that kind of stuff. Whoop, I wonder what the dogs do. What? Dogs just went tearing by here like there was something after them, or they were after something.
You got deer in your area?
Yeah, but there aren't any right around here. I mean, not right now. No, I think they just got a wild hare. Oh, well.
Yeah. The dogs are funny. The dogs are so happy to be home.
Oh, I'll bet they are. God. And you picked them up when, this morning?
I picked them up, yeah, just before lunch today. Mm. They were home less than 10 minutes before the three of them were stretched out and dead to the world.
In their own particular accustomed places.
Yep.
Yep. Just, yeah.
You know, back
they
home.
They do like their comforts.
You know, I don't know the condition that they're necessarily in when they're there. They don't come back, in bad shape. So, but I assume that they are not sleeping on padded carpeting or couches. Mm. You know, they're probably sleeping on, warm but not warm concrete.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, you're going to take off, go to bed, get rest, get rehydrated, and all that kind of good stuff. And we'll talk to you again.
Yeah, I only drank a quart of water while we were talking.
Oh. Well,
I had two bottles of water.
And you only drank one of them?
No, I had two 1-pint bottles.
Ah, okay. Okay.
And I drank both of them.
Cool. Good.
So two
pints. Your body needs it.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I hate to be graphic, but I'm peeing orange juice.
Yeah, I'll bet you are. Okay, kiddo. Well, get well.
All right.
All right.
Talk to you next week. Everybody else, have a good week.
Yep.
And, direct the anger where it needs to be at everybody else.
You betcha.
Bye.